time to explain a Destiny lore podcast where friends come together to talk about Destiny lore. This is episode 4. I'm Mike. My pronouns are he and him. And with me, as usual, is my co-host, Kit.
Hi, it's me, Kit. My pronouns are he, him, or they, them.
Hey, Kit.
Hey.
This week, we have a special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Jez. My pronouns are they, them. Hello.
Hey, Jez. Thanks for joining us.
Of course, happy to be here.
Hell yeah. Would you like to briefly talk about your history with the Destiny franchise, and since we're a Destiny lore podcast, what got you into Destiny lore?
Sure. I started playing Destiny when it first came out, the first Destiny, and I did not like it at all.
I wasn't expecting that.
I played through the story, which there was not much of, and bounced off it real hard. And then the Vault of Glass came out, and I was like, well, what the hell's a Vault of Glass? That sounds cool. I want to know what that is. And then I started reading the lore cards in the Destiny app, because that was the only way to do it back then. And boy, that was a bad experience, but the lore was cool. So, and then kind of I've been in it since then.
That's awesome. So you're a veteran.
Yeah, I've taken a few sabbaticals away from Destiny over the years, but yeah, I'm an old timer, I guess.
Nice.
That sounds very healthy.
Yeah, I think it. I would not like Destiny half as much as if I hadn't done it.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for anyone listening that might be feeling that right now?
The need to take a break.
Take a break. Like, step away from it. It's fine. You're not gonna, miss out on anything too drastic, and it's pretty easy to catch up on stuff if you wanna. Like, I took a pretty big gap between, Forsaken and now, kind of. And, I still feel like I got a pretty good handle on everything that's going on, so, I don't know. If you're not feeling it, step away. It's fine.
That's very good advice.
It will still be there, for the most part.
It will still be there. Don't turn it into a job. It's not. It's a game. It's fun. It should be fun.
Yeah. It's a game. Dang it!
What is this fun you're talking about? So what are some of your favorite stories from over the years? Like, what's your favorite vibe or type of story that Destiny has told over the years? What do you gravitate most towards?
The stuff that really grabbed me initially is all the Hive stuff, mostly. Sword logic is a really dumb phrase, and I love it.
It's so good.
I'm way into ridiculous nouns and the weird esoteric bullshit. So all the Taken King stuff, that whole arc was me on my absolute bullshit way into Destiny. I don't think I've ever been as into the story as I was for that time. Which makes me real excited for the Witch Queen. So, how about you? Where are you at? Where are you both at with the story? How did you both get into it, actually? I should ask.
We've talked about it some, but I think for me it's the same kind of the magnetism of certain proper nouns that come up. You were talking about Vault of Glass, and the name Praedith lives in my head rent-free. It's such a good name of, this character, which again, we'll talk about because he's going to be relevant. But for me, it was sort of the similar thing of certain things that grab me. Little tidbits of, of information. But I'm a much more recent Destiny than either of you, which makes it kind of fun and kind of daunting to get into the stories.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of it.
There's a lot of it. And I love it. It's like a delicious smorgasbord, but it does sometimes feel like there's too much to really approach, or to really grasp easily. Which is why it's good to talk about it with your friends.
I'm similar to you, Jez, in that I also, well, I first came in Taken King, so I didn't have that initial bounce off, and I didn't play Vault of Glass until much later in Destiny 1. So I was going through the Taken King campaign being like, it feels like there's a lot going on behind the scenes of this story that nobody else seems to be able to tell me anything about. And so I went spelunking on my own. But yeah, the scale of that story, like getting to the Dreadnought and being in that transmat zone and just being like, oh, this is bigger than anything in this game that I've seen before. That really like captured my imagination.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So speaking of the Witch Queen, a master transition, like as of this recording, this was just a couple weeks ago, the 25th of February, where Joe Blackburn, who's the assistant game director of Destiny 2, gave a State of Destiny in 2021 update. You could go to Bungie.net and see this. This isn't gonna be one of those podcasts where we just like read the TWAB. but in this specific case, some major story plot stuff happened in the got addressed in this update about the direction that the franchise is going to take, specifically with its story. And since we just spent 3 episodes talking about the lore of the lore and the development of Destiny's story through the franchise thus far and how it's being delivered to us, it seemed relevant that we should meet and talk about this. Because now this is gonna launch us into the future of the franchise. So, I thought it would be cool if we briefly ran down some of the bullet points that were talked about in this update, and then, much like we said in it, become the thing that we said in the earlier episodes,
no!
And just start wildly speculating.
Yeah.
But we're signaling it pretty clearly.
Yeah.
we know as much as you do. Probably less.
Yeah, usually it's
less. Yeah.
Yeah, so there will definitely be some wild speculation because these are things that haven't happened yet in the real world or the game, i.e. the launch of the Witch Queen expansion and beyond. The title of this blog post that we're talking about is Destiny 2021 Update, The Road to the Witch Queen. And it's good. It's really exciting. I got really excited reading this.
Yeah, me too.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I'd sort of hit a point where I was like, maybe I take another break from Destiny for a minute, and then this came out and I got real excited.
So. Yup.
I know that feeling very well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the first header in this game update is The Witch Queen, Lightfall, and Beyond. And speaking of getting excited, that header alone got me excited. Because that was the first time since they talked about The Witch Queen and Lightfall that the word Beyond Lightfall has been announced anywhere.
Yeah, like up until this post, it was kind of like I'd been kind of assuming Lightfall was the end, right? Like,
yeah, Lightfall, the end of the Guardians,
yeah, it sounds
the
pretty,
bearers of
it,
the light, yeah.
It sounds pretty final, and you know they announced 3 expansions in a row. Like ahead of time, which is already kind of wild. And I was just like, okay, so that's the last one, and then Destiny's done, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I guess it all came out of this you know, they talk about in this article, Joe Garoth talks about, you know, like getting to this point and sort of making the transition to seeing Destiny as a more ongoing living thing. Like, it's not necessarily, they're signaling kind of with this and beyond and the rest of, you know, the content about it, that they intend to keep, you know, updating this game and not like Destiny 3 or a Destiny spinoff, but like this game that exists so far, they're gonna keep updating that, which, yeah, I had assumed they weren't going to, which is really cool and exciting and made me feel a lot better about like the content vaulting, especially. So I was like, oh, if they're going to keep this service operational, they'll keep this game's servers up and keep adding some of the things that went away, we might see come back again.
Something that they talked about specifically about that is when they bring something back, they want to update it so that it stays current and not just bring it back as it was. And I think that's really interesting. We saw the first round of that with the Cosmodrome coming back with Beyond Light. And what interests me the most about that, see, that whole thing is like, okay, so you talked about Vault of Glass earlier, Jez, and we know Vault of Glass is coming back in the near future. And in this update, they talked about how they're going to update it to be current with Destiny 2 standards. And Kit, you mentioned how Praedith lives rent-free in your head.
Yeah.
He also lives rent-free in the Vault of Glass. So I would really like if they update Vault of Glass and come back around to that story.
Are you going to start charging him rent to live there?
I hope not. Fuck landlords.
Yeah, let's go kill Atheon, the landlord conflux of rent.
Praedith, guardian trapped eternally in, you know, the Vex, what is it, prediction? Simulation world?
Prediction engine?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is really interesting to me. I'm curious what they do with it, both, like, story-wise and mechanically. I think it's very exciting.
Like, I think setting our expectations realistically is like they update the lighting and they throw champions into it.
Yeah.
And there's no dialogue. And it's just silent.
Okay, but dialogue is one thing, but there's definitely dialogue. Someone will write a new lore book.
There has to be a lore book, right?
Yeah. And that is exciting to me.
I hope you're right.
Someone has to do it. I'll do it. Shit.
Yeah, like
Bungie, call me. yeah, and just like, you know, continuing with the sort of Witch Queen, Lightfall, and beyond. My mind was really blown, like, reading this the state of Destiny, by this line. Even more importantly, the conclusion of these releases, Witch Queen. Lightfall will also conclude the Light and Darkness saga.
Yeah.
The idea that the Light and Darkness, that is a saga that the writers of that work in this world are seeming to say will end and be followed by something else, a different central conflict, like that conflict will resolve and something else is going to take its place, but there will be something else. It's not like the conflict will resolve and the game at that point is over, but that there's something more. Like, I could not, like, to me, the battle between light and darkness is Destiny. Like, the idea that that is like a saga that they see as part of something else is so exciting.
Yeah.
You know? That,
yeah, totally.
That they can be working in this world with, like, a different palette of, like, antagonists and major players than light and darkness is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. The light and darkness thing is so core to all of Destiny, that the fact that they're seemingly going to move past it is, yeah, like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see more of that, like, yeah.
And you can see them starting to, you know, draw the seeds of that now with, you know, in the most recent, you know, in Beyond Light, getting the darkness powers and working with the darkness, and that, you know, the Guardian is now not a pure controller of light, you know, and has this occupies like a more kind of gray position. It was a little confusing when they first started doing that to me, because for so long the darkness has been the antagonist, you know, the guardians have represented light and darkness has been the antagonist for the most part. And so starting to blur those lines a little bit, and starting to have characters who exist, you know, balancing those two things, I think it's cool. It's like, oh, it's not just, you know, it's not quite so obviously, you know, black and white and opposed. That's really exciting. This was making me think, like, what could conclude the light and darkness saga? What would end these two forces exactly? I was like, how are you going to tie this one up? I was fascinated by it. So I'm really excited to see what they do with that.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know how they wrap this up at all.
Yeah. What do you think?
Don't
Mike?
Even have wild speculation.
Yeah. Right. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, like, to me, what you're touching on there about, like, that jumps out to me the most from having read this update was that, just like Jez said, like, at least in my mind, thus far the franchise, the darkness is the big bad guy, and over time they started weaving in these characters that were talking about how, oh, the line is very thin, whose side are you on, are you sure that that's the case, and all that time I've been like, are you like walking this back about the darkness being the ultimate bad guy? Of course that culminates in the events of Beyond Light, where now we start wielding the darkness, and that alone was very shocking to me, let alone them saying, oh yeah, Lightfall, there's going to be even another expansion after Lightfall, and that will conclude this saga. And yeah, it's like, what else is there?
That to me is the wildest part of this whole post, is that they're like, oh yeah, there'll be another one after Lightfall. I thought, like, there was a part of me that was like thinking if they're gonna stretch this out, it would go in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Just because Lightfall sounds like such a final thing, but the fact that it's after Lightfall is... what does it mean? What does it mean?
Yeah, especially because it's like, it seems like they've done a lot of work to try to set up Light capital L and Darkness capital D as cosmic forces that are in the fabric of the universe. Like, they're not actually something that could be defeated. They're like, they're just ways of the way.
They're like gravity.
Right.
Yeah. That's how I always thought they were positioned in Destiny 2, just like the, as natural forces. Like,
the thing that puts a wrinkle in it for me is that the darkness still wants to see the end of all life. So it's kind of like, well, oh, they're just two sides of the same coin. It's like, well, I mean, not really, though.
Not really.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, even through Beyond Light, there's all this talk of, like, the reason we need to use the darkness is so that we can use its own power against it.
Uh-huh. But you still have to be very careful, because the darkness may corrupt you and cause you to become more like it, which is still very bad.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I think they're still positioning the darkness as an antagonist, but just, like, a little bit more complex than, oh, dark bad. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not quite as black and white as that, but it is still very much like, oh yeah, no, the darkness does bad things.
Well, and it's also interesting because, you know, the Traveler, you know, sort of, not to change topics too much, but the Traveler is, you know, this icon of the light. You know, the Traveler being the big sky planet, or the big roving moon, I guess, that is the source of your powers. And the Traveler is kind of a contested figure, I guess, in the lore of Destiny, but I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that even like the not only are they making those kinds of changing the sort of terms of the darkness a little bit, but the light is also kind of a flawed thing. I mean, I just think about you know, the Traveler sort of leaving the Elixni and sort of what that did to their society, and that kind of the shadow that's sort of following behind the Guardians at all times, of seeing like a race of people who have experienced like the loss of this light thing. That's always kind of, there's this sort of fear that could happen to humanity as well, that the light could choose to leave them or abandon them, and that is that's what I was thinking of when they said, oh, beyond the saga of light and darkness. I'm like, is it just gonna leave? Is it just gonna be like a dark age kind of thing? You know, is that how they are thinking about this? I just rambled about the Traveler. I'm sorry.
Well, I think it's it's relevant because we're talking about, like, we have the Traveler and the pyramids, and the Traveler is not the light, and the pyramids are not the darkness. They're, like, agents of each of those cosmic forces, at least as I understand it. And so, like...
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
Because there's also the, like, the entity. Like, the veiled statue that keeps popping up over and over again.
Yeah, we really don't know who or what that is besides possibly Clarity.
Yeah, but Clarity's just a name that Clovis gave to it, so it's like, yeah, what is it? Just, is it aligned with the pyramids as well, and it's also just an agent of the darkness, or is it something else, or...
Yeah, we really don't know.
That, where I was going with that is when they showed that Lightfall announcement, and they said working title... And they showed the graphic of the pyramid inside the Traveler, framed inside the Traveler, not literally inside the Traveler, but...
Not like the egg that we know it is.
It's not an egg.
It is an egg.
It's an egg. It's an egg.
It's definitely an egg.
I'm outnumbered.
Destiny can really just be positioned as the battle between the spheres and the triangles, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
But where I was going with that is, it made me think, oh, so are these, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're machines of some kind, that these idols of each of these cosmic forces, is the conflict going to destroy those and leave us with no more, we're not going to have this physical representation of these cosmic forces anymore? Because back in the Red War campaign, the speaker had one line where he talked about the light being in everything, like very Yoda-like. The Force is entered, you know, it's in the tree and the rock and the ship and whatever. And so that made me think, oh, I'm about to go off into my wild speculation. I guess I already am.
That's
but...
fine.
Even further than that is to say, okay, if those are gone, then that leads me back to thinking about kind of what you were saying, Kit, about how the Traveler has visited other, has bestowed its gift upon other species throughout the galaxy, which our universe, which we read about some in the Books of Sorrow. And it made me think, oh, could that finally take us out beyond our solar system in search of other artifacts of these cosmic forces that might be out there from other civilizations that they've come into contact with before?
Hmm.
Hmm.
You got me thinking. You got me thinking.
Because much like Jez, I was thinking we must be coming to a conclusion, and Lightfall seems pretty final of a name to talk about and announce ahead of time. And I've always felt like, because of the way they portrayed these cosmic forces as, I think you said, like, natural forces of the universe, it's like, oh, we can't actually... For a long time, I thought, we're gathering the A-team together to go fight the Black Fleet. We're going to go meet the Black Fleet of pyramids and try to destroy them. And then the darkness might still exist, but it won't have its representatives in the physical realm to attack us anymore. That was kind of always what I had pictured in my head. And now that that doesn't seem to be where it's going, and especially using the darkness powers, period, the darkness itself is not something that we could go shoot with a gun.
Clearly not.
Like, it's yeah, we can't have a, like, the final raid is not gonna be us going out and, like, shooting the darkness. Spoilers for the Lord of the Rings, I guess. sort of. Like, my original theory was that we were going to have to, in some way, like they keep pressing that these forces have to exist in balance, and so it's like one can't ultimately triumph over the other one. So my thought was, for us to actually, quote-unquote, defeat the darkness, we would have to, like, give up our light-bearing powers and, like, go off into the sunset and sail over the edge of the horizon, and, like, ultimately that would be it, to be, like, we're gonna just... Like, that's the only way we could truly, quote-unquote, win... But that doesn't seem to be where it's going now.
No, because if it was going that way, it would be... They would say, okay, goodbye to destiny.
Right. Right, yeah. Exactly. The word beyond would not be here.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
So there has to be some other... Somebody else... There has to be somebody else aligned with its goals that's trying to further its goals. I liked what you were saying. I don't want to cut around too much, but I did like what you were saying about, like, well, not only did the Traveler leave and the Lixni suffered the consequences of it leaving, but we also had, like, when the Traveler created ghosts that created light bearers. All of those light bearers weren't automatically forces for justice.
No, and neither
and were equity.
And neither were all of them happy yeah. about being turned into immortal beings with seemingly no say in. There's lots of stories of guardians, like, discovering that they're guardians and being like, "Cool, nope." Most famously, the Drifter, who I think gets up and turns and walks in the other direction. I think that's the Drifter who does that. But, like, are the motivations of Light necessarily that straightforward? Light has just created an army of endlessly resurrecting human beings with a monopoly on violence, like, in the same way, you know? So I think all the time, I think the Traveler is very, can be a very sinister force if you think about it like that. You know?
This sounds like the darkness talking to me.
Yeah, I've been corrupted. Just freeze me up with Aramis. It's fine.
Uh-oh. Kit Sabathun. Confirmed.
Like, I think that's a good point, though. Like, I like obviously, like, the light did what it did, but the only reason it's, like, painted in such a positive light is because a bunch of people were like, oh, cool, now we can actually, like, look after people. And, like... build our fucking home back again, like, you know, like, it could have just as easily gone the other way if other people had been resurrected with the light and decided, you know, like the warlords back in that period. Like, it could have just been, cool, now there's just a bunch of people ruling over people and it's just a bad state of affairs.
Yeah, it was that for a while.
Yeah, it was. And it's purely because, like, a handful of people decided that that wasn't what should be done and they should do, doing big commas here, the right thing, because who the hell knows where this is actually going to end up.
Right.
I think that period of the timeline is really interesting for that reason of, like, examining... I'm like, hesitating, because I don't know if I want to just straight up say, like, they had a chance for full communism.
You can...
And they fucked it.
They did.
And yeah. I think that's really interesting, and it's, like, it's probably... I'd be interested to know if that's just a limitation of the ideology of the writers, or is that... something that people are now coming to grips with and they're like building that into the story.
Right, that there was an opportunity to create a more functional way of working things, and instead what we got is still a pretty stratified society. I think, you know, another sort of, you know, beyond light and dark thing that kind of ties into this discussion is like what, you know, ordinary people, people who are not guardians and who are not light bearers, but are still exist, you know, humans who exist in this place of the last city, but don't take part in any of the, you know, sort of cosmic black ops that we the players and we the guardians do. You know,
that's the first time I've heard it referred to as cosmic so black
cosmic
ops.
Black ops. I mean, but I love that.
What else is it? So, you know, like, you know, oh, what is there in Destiny except light and darkness? I guess, well, a lot of people who, you know, who, it would be really neat to see, you know, the story of, like, collective power of those people who must outnumber Guardians, just, they must.
Yes, like that they would, do. Like, yeah. Relatively yeah. speaking, the number of light bearers out there is very small. And it keeps getting smaller as we keep dealing with world-ending crises.
Right. So that could be something that they, you know, that Bungie works with more in the future is, you know, these other non-light-touched people that exist. That I would be really interested in that.
That's something that I wish they had. They purposely created a character in Hawthorne that meets that criteria and have not done anything with her.
It's frustrating because she's so cool.
I agree. Like, ostensibly, yeah. She's the first human guardian, like, non-light-bearing guardian. Zavala basically knights her at the end of, I mean, I guess that's loaded to say knights her, but...
But
he bestows the title of Guardian onto her at the end of the Red War campaign, and all she's done is hand us clan engrams since then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real bummer that they've never done anything with her character since then.
Yeah, I mean, she must have friends. You know?
Right.
And they're used
to... She has to, if she's so into clans. She has to have a bunch of friends.
Right, like, who are they? Let me see them. I will say that a lot of the time that Destiny describes, like, collective action, it's in lore about, like, the Hive and the Vex, and has kind of a negative connotation to it. Subsuming your will completely. It would be really interesting to see them talk about, like, a different collective action, basically, with individuals not... You know, not everyone becoming Vex Milk, but a different thing. I don't know, man. Turn me into the Vex Milk. I'm ready. Yeah.
The Vault of Glass has a story waiting for you, Kit.
No, yeah. Oh, does it? Get ready.
Yeah. So, Okay, so when the Vault of Glass, they said, is coming back when? Next season?
Next season, so soon. Yeah.
How? Okay, so you both are more familiar with that raid itself. How do you see them connecting the current state of Destiny into that, like, location? Where is the Vault of Glass, first of all?
It's on Venus.
It's on Venus, okay. So I feel like they've been there has been some, you know, foreshadowing of a return to Venus. But obviously it's not a place we've been in Destiny 2. So how do you think they're going to, like, bridge the gap from everything, you know, on Europa and then, you know, throughout the system with Kaidal? Like, how are they, do you see any, and you, maybe you don't know the answer to this, and that's totally fine. Like, can you think of any way that they might sort of, how we might get there? Like, why we might be going back to this place?
I honestly have no idea how they're going to tie it back in story-wise. Like, the easy out part of me says that they're just going to be like, oh, we picked up a weird signal coming out of time. Go explore. And, like, I think they have been foreshadowing, like, going back to Venus, and specifically enough that I think that might happen. Like, it might be not the entire, like, destination, same as the Cosmodrome, but I think we might end up back there and be going back to the vault through those same doors that we took the first time. And I just don't know how much they're going to update the story of it. I hope significantly, but I'm not super confident in saying that.
My answer to that would be, in Garden of Salvation, we got to hear from Praedith again, and I kind of alluded to this in one of our previous episodes, and kind of also tying into this update article where they talked about Beyond Light is the foundation that's allowing us to weave the world building of Destiny and Destiny 2 together. So Garden of Salvation, they had that lore book for that raid, brought Praedith back, and not only Praedith, but also the Vex researcher team from Destiny 1, Maya, Chioma, Dwayne, and Shim. And those characters all teamed up and seemingly got out at the end of that book. But we haven't come back to that thread since then. And part of me thought, is this them kind of cheekily tying back how back in Destiny 1 there was a mission where we went and followed Praedith's signal into the vault, and so here's the story telling this little cheeky time loop about him getting that signal out to us. And that's, like, cute and all, but I would really like that to be something that might, maybe a new signal comes out and leads us back to the vault, and maybe we could bring, I mean, this is now real wish list kind of shit, but maybe that could finally get us to have Maya and Praedith as characters we interact with.
Oh, you want to meet them? Yeah. Like, they've come out of the... Oh, yeah.
Because Maya is also, like, really heavily referenced through Beyond Light in the lore books there.
Yeah, there's Maya pops up in Clovis Bray's journals, and it may or may not actually be Maya, which brings up all sorts of interesting, questions of, like, identity and, you know, replication.
But that whole story about those researchers, like, what kicked them off was that idea that the Vex could simulate us so accurately that we don't know we're in a simulation. And that is what ultimately led them into the Vex network to be like, we need to find out what they have going on and what they're capable of, because this is some scary shit. And so they've been in there since these copies of them have been in there since the Golden Age.
That's so fucked.
It's so wild.
Yeah, man. So, like, they know some shit that we need to know.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see them setting up these dominoes, especially because the vault is one of these areas where it's, like, similar to the Infinite Forest, where, like, the Vex have total control over this area and can do whatever they want within it. to the extent, like, in Destiny 1, there were just enemies in this vault that could just erase you from time.
Yep. Uh-huh.
What?
Make it so that you never existed.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
So there's
some shit going on in the vault.
There's some bad shit going on that we need to know about.
Yeah.
So, like, I could definitely see them, like, that's exciting to me. If since they're saying in this update, we're going to weave the world building of Destiny and Destiny 2 together for them setting up these dominoes to bring these characters into Destiny 2.
Nice. Yeah. Ooh, that would be so
cool. I hope. If it doesn't happen in the raid, at least more of these threads could get followed up on, that maybe in a future update they could actually bring these people in.
Yeah, I think they're going to need to introduce some new characters. I would love if it was that research team.
So what are some other, I say tinfoil, but my mind immediately goes to spin foil because that's the lore community, word for the rampant speculation is your spin foil hat.
Uh-huh.
So what are some other spin foil? What's some shit that you want to see? What's some stuff that's not in uncharted territory that's on your wish list?
I want the Vanguard to be replaced by the Rat Vanguard. The Vanguard from Europa. Eris, the Drifter, and the Exo Stranger, or Elsie. I want to see those characters head Last City, the Vanguard, whatever sort of comes after that. I'm just fantasizing about a collective movement about ending this conflict between light and darkness by, you know, not killing it to death necessarily, but perhaps accepting these different forces. I would love to see those three characters at the forefront because I love their little interactions, and I'd love to see more of them leading the people's revolution of Destiny.
Wow.
And I would like to see those. I would like to see that crossed with more Elixni stuff because I love the Elixni, aka the Fallen, and I think it would be like I want to see all those outsider characters become more insider characters, and I kind of want to see them becoming compromised in that process. What we were talking about before, you know, the opportunity that like early Lightbearers had to reinvent a society that, you know, took care of people better. Imagining that there's some kind of a very, you know, another world shifting event that, you know, changes the play of this light and darkness. I would really like to see the story of like the second attempt at the same kind of thing of like making a new society, under different circumstances, like not with all these, you know, high powered, zombies or where everyone is a zombies, you know, guardians or where everyone has that ability or, you know, that I would be really interested to see that, and to see those characters try and maybe fail to do a better job would be interesting to me.
There is some precedent for that,
sure.
Where like back in Rise of Iron, Ephrodite showed up out of nowhere.
Is she still alive?
She is still alive, as far as we know. And apparently she lives out in a commune of Lightbearers that is quote unquote pacifist.
Hmm.
But that don't use their powers for it in like military action, and that's super interesting to me. And I would, as part of my wish list of going out into the universe, I would love to see those other way, kind of what you're saying. I would like to see people using the light and darkness in different ways, I guess.
Yeah, like what does it look like if someone uses the light to have a really lovely farm? To like grow a lot of plants,
like I think,
and food for
yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the light work like that? It could, maybe. I don't know. Shit.
Right. Right. And that's where I'm like, there's that little line of the light isn't everything that opens up that possibility. And I don't think that the way that we interact necessarily will be in a way other than shooting a gun, but it would be nice to go visit other places where that's a possibility. And like, I think this kind of is a topic about like, well, power comes at the barrel of a gun. So like, there's not necessarily like, if we need to go and protect these places, that's still done with violence. Like, that's still a necessary thing, but it would be interesting to interact with something in a different way.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I really liked what you were saying about the Elixni, because I definitely think we're going in the direction of Elixni Lightbearers. And I would love to see that, and I would love to see the Elixni become a playable character race.
Ugh, the dream.
Absolutely, yeah.
The dream. Even just having Elixni.
That's right there on my...
Even just having Elixni in the tower. I mean, go a long way.
Yeah, like, just, like, diving a bit deeper into Elixni in general, I think, like, is something they've started to do, but I would absolutely love to see more in that direction. My big wish list thing is bring back Kallus. I need to know more about my best friend.
Tell me more, Jez. Tell me more.
I love him so much. I need him to come back.
What do you love about Kallus so much?
I love my big friend. He's just so, like, cheery about everything. Like, even when you kill him, he's like, yeah, sick. And, like, they've obviously given us a bit of that recently with the new mission that they put out. But I want... All that stuff is super interesting. And also, like, his connection to the darkness or the entity or whatever it is, I think is really interesting. And actually, like, you know, the giant robots, there's so many of them.
Yeah, how did he learn to do that? Like, where did Kallus get the idea?
I don't think we're actually going to get that, but I would love just some more on that. Also, a big picture thing that I'm kind of nervous about, I don't know how long they can keep stringing along the Savathun and Mara thing, just always having a plan.
What's the plan, Mara?
What's the plan, Mara?
Still waiting on that plan. Any day now. Whenever you're ready.
There's only so many times I can be like, ah, yeah, that's what they were planning. It's fine, don't worry. They knew you were gonna do that. There's only so many times they can do that before it's just, like, stops working completely.
Yeah, really ready for a payoff on that one.
I feel like that might be coming. Like, we saw Mara extremely briefly in Beyond Light, which is the first time we've seen her in a long time. And if she's gonna pop back up again, it's gonna be in the Witch Queen, right?
Oh, like, maybe she's the Witch Queen. What if it's not Savathun, okay, but it's Marisov? Hmm. Tinfoil hat.
My other pick for that is it's Eris.
Yeah, like in the dark future.
Which they kind of already, they already kind of outright said that. But I don't know if that's going to be the future we live in or.
Man, I hope not. She's so special.
Yeah,
I would hate that.
I hope not, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I would be really bummed out.
And also on that, Shax. Is Shax gonna go evil on us?
Or Saladin?
Oh no! Oh god! And this had never even entered my mind as a possibility.
he's already got the song all the time.
Oh no. Oh, we'd be so fucked.
I would be so much more bummed if he went evil than if Eris did.
Oh damn.
I love Shax for the same reason I love Kallus.
Yeah, who would?
They're just stoked all the time.
Who would tell us to throw grenades if not for him?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my god. You just blew my mind.
KO.
I don't even know what to say about that. Like, people would stop playing the game, I bet, if that happened.
I would stop playing Crucible. Like,
Saladin is now the announcer for all game modes.
Oh god.
Ugh, hot pass. No, thank you.
See? Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh.
See, I think they're more likely to have Saladin go evil. He's awful.
He's already doing war crimes.
I know!
So.
He's already doing so much. I wish he would cut it out. I'm really starting to feel distasteful towards him as the season rolls on.
Mm.
We should talk about that when we talk about Season of the Chosen. But yeah, he's currently, I feel displeased with Saladin. And feel like his story is starting to go towards, like, did he go too far?
Yeah, it's getting dark.
There are something else I would like to see that I feel like is underneath the surface already there is the concept of there being multiple realities in the Destiny universe. My thought was that we still don't know what happened during the collapse. And it's that kind of ties way back into me being like, it's weird that they're trying to present the darkness as like not that bad, because like the collapse is like really horrible, but like we don't know exactly what happened, and we have these multiple realities. They have this avenue that they could use to like show us just how bad it could get without it necessarily impacting our like prime home reality. To be like, so that would be something I would like to see also, is like somehow we end up in this parallel world where it's like, here are the stakes. Like, we had a brief glimpse of it in the Infinite Forest when like we went to a simulated reality where like the Vex had won and the sun was like black and the horizon was just a sea of red eyes.
Ooh.
Like, we never got anything else like that.
Yeah.
And I think it would be really effective for us to like see what we're actually up against. Like, we have little hints of it in the like Seven Seraph armor set from that season. There's a story about some guy like trying to survive the final moments. And then there's some weirdness going on in the Black Armory Papers book. But it's all obscured.
Well, you're describing like written stuff, right? I mean, those are both written stories. We haven't seen a lot of that. The drama of like an alternate timeline in the game.
Right. Not from our first person perspective. Like, we haven't personally experienced
right.
it.
Yeah.
And although I don't like spooky stuff, which I feel like I'm gonna be inviting both of you to play with me a lot during the Witch Queen.
Of course. Yep.
I would really like, I think it would be an effective storytelling device to be, I feel like you could only threaten the city so many times until that threat doesn't hold any water anymore. I think we could have this alternate, this out to be like, oh, whoops, somehow we ended up in this alternate reality and like we got sent back to the collapse and like here's what happened, and we're gonna experience it firsthand and be like, then we'll zip back to our home time and we'll be like, oh god, like we cannot let this happen.
Yeah.
Because as of now it's like, well, I don't know, seems fine.
Seems fine, but let's keep murdering these people who, you know, had this thing happen to them that could very well happen to us, but we don't want to think about that. So we're just going to blow up all their synthetic light that they've made to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be sick as shit.
Yeah. That would be
You know what
cool.
would also be good? If they put mechs in it.
Now we're talking.
You got me. You got me.
Now we're talking.
You know, like, I don't know, put some giant robots.
Ooh, robots, you say?
Let's pilot some shit.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
I guess Destiny's vehicle sections are not well loved, though, so maybe I'm asking for something I regret.
Yeah, that's true.
But it would be cool.
Space.
They could do it right. I don't know.
Dogfighting in our jump ships.
Ah.
Oh. Oh yeah.
That would be so. That's just a different game.
It would be so cool if it was done well. It would be so good.
Big asterisk.
Mm-hmm.
I've played a lot of
huge asterisk.
I've played a lot of mediocre, like, dogfighting space combat games in my lifetime, so.
Look, SRL was a good racing game. I will plant my flag here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Alright, well.
Alright.
You could die on that.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize this was such a hot take.
I don't know. I never played it. I don't.
It was cool once. Is my take. Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair.
They could, if they took another run at it, I think they could do it well, but.
It would be a cool thing for them to do if they did it again, but better.
So now that we've had our fun, we've had our whimsy, let's bring it back to the listeners.
The listenership.
Yes. What would you like to say to the listeners, Kit?
To our listenership, I would like to announce over the loudspeaker that if you have questions, you can send us an email. We have an email address. It is sometimetoexplain@gmail.com. You can send us questions that you have about lore or things we talked about or your thoughts or your pipe dreams for what you'd like to see in the future of Destiny 2. Please do.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I would like to hear that.
Yeah, please. If you have like a grand theory of everything, go ahead and, you know, drop that in there. So that again is sometimetoexplain@gmail.com. Please avoid sending things pertaining to data mined content. So anything that's not currently accessible in the game or that the developers don't for players to be accessing at this point, we ask that you kindly refrain from sending things discussing them so that we don't get spoiled. And let's see, Jez, do you have anything you want to plug?
No, I don't have anything to plug. You can find me on Twitter, I guess, if you want to not ever see me post anything. It's JEZ_Winters is me. I just want to say thank you for having me on here. This has been super fun.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Oh, any final thoughts? I love my goth girlfriend, Eris Morn, and I don't want her to turn evil. Thank you.
I second this.
Yeah, I'll third right. that.
Hell yeah.
Good.
If Shax goes evil, holy fuck.
Yeah, if my overexcited boyfriend goes evil, that's even worse.
I can't fucking deal with that.
Can't.
Oh my gosh. I'll be talking to my therapist about this.
Yeah, schedule an extra session.
Oh my god.
All right.
I'm sorry for opening your eyes to that possibility.
This was all a mistake.
Mike regrets everything.
Cool. I'll see myself out.
Thanks for joining us, and we hope you'll join us here next time on Sometime to Explain.
I don't believe this. I get rid of those two evil maniacs who try to ruin my show, and I get two evil guests who are trying to ruin my show.
Fair. Just who came up with the stupid idea of giving Space Ghost a talk show in the first place?
How they gave his own show to Tad Ghostal. Any given second he could go mad postal. Stay waving that power band space cannon. And had the nerve to jump in the face. Erase Bannon. Pumped out. Luckily he deaded it. Guess who's the smuck who's credited with editing it? Your man Moltar, the cop out. Ain't have no other career choice. He dropped out. Since when the way out's included Zorak. Way back he used to rub his thorax and borax. I'm not the one that sold him to it. If he won't admit it, I'm not gonna hold him to it. It's all love and no hate though. For all that, the villain need to get his own late show. Do a monologue and jest with the guests. Mad Libs, switch the beat and walk him to the desk. with Danger holding down the control room. Late again returning from commercial, I told you Doom. Early, he's on BPT, catch him on public access, free TV. And we're back live on the air with Brack. Hey. So Brack, how your man got a show that's so
well.
Whack.
Hey, you can't say better.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I don't know. You're right.
This is bullshit. I won't stand for this.
It's all right. I was there. I know what it was like.
We can disagree. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Wow.
It's okay to be wrong.
Wow. Yeah, you're right, Mike. It is okay to be wrong.
Oh, man. All right.